SIW Radio from SecurityInfoWatch.com. This is Jeff Cole, and of course this is part of our regular program on IT Basics for Physical Security Pros, which means we have Kevin Beaver on the line. Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Mighty fine, Jeff. Thanks for having me again.
We, in our last episode, we hit on the issue of wireless security, and it's a natural segue, I think, that we move into the issue of mobile devices, and we're going to talk about mobile devices security. This has gotten to be a big issue across the nation, whether it's the VA laptop scandal, if you will, or just the day-in, day-out issues that go with mobile devices. Kevin, in terms of mobile devices in the corporate setting, what does that include?
Well, obviously, laptops or notebooks, however you want to refer to them, even PDAs, smartphones, and essentially anything that has a storage on it. You could argue that iPods, or, you know, technically MP3 players, even USB thumb drives could be considered mobile devices. But I think by and large, with at least in the context that we're talking about today, and the biggest threat is laptops and smartphones and PDAs.
Yeah, I guess we can come back into maybe another episode and talk about how to glue up your USB port so they can't put in those thumb drives.
But yep.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, if we're talking about notebooks, what are some of the biggest security issues that you're seeing surrounding these devices?
Well, as with wireless networks that we talked about before, you know, the mobile convenience and benefits are really obvious, but the risks are not that obvious. Or I guess they're becoming more obvious, but a lot of people still haven't tuned in to what there is to lose. You know, we have this porous perimeter where people are just coming and going at will with their laptops, with their smartphones, with their PDAs, and they have sensitive corporate information stored on them, or sensitive you know, organizational information stored on them that they can't afford to lose. So the thing is, I think one of the underlying issues is that a lot of network managers and network administrators, they don't realize where their information is. They have no clue what's stored on their laptops, what's stored on their servers, what's on people's PDAs and smartphones, because there's so much information out there. And at least most of the organizations that I see, they don't have a formal data classification policy, so it's sort of a free-for-all. You know, people are coming and going, and there's no true way to maintain any semblance of control in this. And, you know, and I see situations where the physical security folks don't have the control of mobile devices either. You know, that supposedly they do, but they actually don't. You know, I just got finished performing a security assessment recently where it was physical security's responsibility to make sure that employees who are coming and going are not doing things to harm potentially sensitive information, but they were totally out of the loop. And there's this, you know, gaping hole between IT and physical security, and nobody's taking responsibility over the situation.
And I guess it should be noted that, you know, especially in today's world of physical security, where we've had so many developments and technology to allow for remote viewing of the access control system and the video systems and other systems, that, you know, it's very common now for security managers to have a laptop and to maybe perhaps log in from afar. So
right, and the thing is, if anybody wants to go out and get some current statistics on just how vulnerable we are with mobile devices, all you have to do is go to privacyrights.org and look at their chronology of data breaches. They keep track of all the known breaches that are taking place, and it's unbelievable. You can look, a large percentage of them is due to the insecurities of mobile devices, people losing them, people getting them stolen out of the back of their cars, you name it. And You know, even there was a story that came out not long ago that even our own FBI, apparently from 2001 to 2005, they had 160 laptop losses or thefts and 51 additional ones that may or may not have had sensitive classified information on it. So, you know, our own federal government can't even keep up with their systems. And, you know, we've got to, you know, really try to rein in what's going on here and get these things under control. So the problem is huge, but I think the solutions are relatively simple when you look at the big picture.
And you mentioned this, you know, website privacyrights.org. Sounds like a good one to check out. Is your sense that laptop or notebook losses go unreported in a lot of cases?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I think, you know, a lot of organizations, they either turn a blind eye to it, or they just don't know about it because they have so many systems to keep up with. They just, you know, especially if they're, you know, like floater laptops where no one single individual owns it and they're just kind of bouncing around from person to person. Yeah, obviously there's a lot of situations that could take place where no one would you know about it for months, if ever.
And I guess implicit in this is that one of the vulnerabilities is that mobile devices, by their very nature, can walk off. In terms of, are there other, you know, specific vulnerabilities around these types of mobile devices that come into play?
Yeah, a couple of things that I see specifically is there's a general lack of power on passwords, especially for smartphones and PDAs. You know, if somebody loses their device and another person walks up on it and turns it on, odds are they're not going to have to type in a password to gain full access to the entire system. So that's a big deal. And when it comes to laptops, you could argue that power on passwords are good as well, but that tends to be an issue. And I guess you could argue this with smartphones and PDAs, that it tends to be an issue with usability and convenience, where people don't want to have to type in the power on password every time. But these power on passwords, they do add another layer of security. Another thing that I see is the ability to bypass typical authentication altogether. You know, you open up a laptop, you turn it on, the operating system loads up, be it Windows or Linux or whatever, and a lot of times you can just bypass the logon. You know, with these, some of the older versions of Windows that we have, you just hit the escape key and you don't have to log on at all, or you just hit enter and select the click OK and select the fact that there's no password whatsoever on the system, or you just type in password, which is the password that a lot of people use. And, you know, it's really easy to bypass that kind of stuff. And I guess once someone gets into the actual laptop, then there's the fact that, you know, there's no drive encryption or there's poorly implemented encryption. And that's I think that's one of the greatest false sense of securities that a lot of people have. A lot of organizations are moving towards, you know, drive encryption and things like that, but they're not necessarily doing it the right way. So, they're doing it with weak passphrases, or where the users still have full control of the system and the users can disable it and enable it and whatever. So there's still a lot of issues.
Let's talk a little bit about encryption. And it seems that there's hard drive level encryption that encrypts everything on the hard drive, and then there's software-based encryption that encrypts data that's stored on the hard drive. Very slight nuance, but it's a very significant one. What would you recommend in terms of encryption for a mobile device?
Well, I guess it could be argued that there's a couple more types of encryption. You can there's partition-based, where you can create an encrypted file, and you double-click on it, type in your passphrase, and it loads up, and it looks like a regular drive on the system. And then there's also hardware-based encryption, like Seagate's Momentus drives. So among the four, I would say, just because I've used it for quite a while now, I like whole disk encryption, you know, whereby you encrypt everything on the system, not just a certain folder, not just certain data, but everything on the system. The reason that I like that is that oftentimes sensitive files can jump ship, you know, off of a quote-unquote encrypted drive or encrypted partition, and end up on the user's desktop or in their temp folder or whatever. And if that's the case, then that information is no longer protected. When you encrypt the entire drive, everything is encrypted, and you don't have to worry about where users store their information, being sloppy with, you know, saving files to their Windows desktop and things like that. It's a sort of a foolproof system that everything on the laptop is encrypted. I'm not saying that the partition-based and the content-based don't have a place. I think they do, but I think if you want to go with more foolproof, look at whole disk or even look at hardware-based encryption.
And I guess one of the thoughts on that is that, you know, mobile devices aren't necessarily being stolen for particularly nefarious purposes. Sometimes they're just headed toward the pawn shop.
Right.
So is I guess the idea is to simply block someone from having easy access to what could be a database of customer information that might even include Social Security numbers, credit lines, et cetera.
Absolutely. And the thing is, if you do have your information encrypted on mobile devices or whatever, in a lot of situations, like with these state breach notification laws that we have in close to, what is it now, 30 or 35 states, if your information is encrypted at the time of the quote-unquote breach or incident, then you don't have to notify all of your customers that their sensitive information was potentially breached. You just say, well, we had laptop encryption, and yeah, the laptop was lost or it was stolen or whatever, but we had that encryption, so we just saved ourselves $1 million from, you know, having to notify everyone that maybe their information's at risk.
And you may have just stayed off the front page of the USA Today or CNN.
Absolutely, absolutely, and you're not going to end up on that Privacy Rights Clearinghouse list of, you know, data breaches. If it's published, if it's known, it's going to end up on that list, and a lot of people refer to that.
Sure, and where we can all Google your name.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about policies on mobile devices. Besides the passwords and encryption, let's talk about sort of user policies. Are there any good ways to think about laptop security levels and awareness training for users?
I think looking at the fundamental level for users, the best way to show them that laptops are at risk and sensitive information is at risk is just to show them how easy it is to break into a laptop. You know, you could any person in IT could demonstrate this within 5 minutes during a training session. Using free software tools, it just takes just a matter of 5 minutes to get to take complete ownership of the laptop and glean all the other passwords that were stored on the laptop. So that, I think, you know, something that's visible, something that's tangible and people can relate to, showing them that stuff, you know, this is why you need to pay attention. This is why you shouldn't leave your laptop, you know, sitting in your back seat, even if you're just going to run into the store for a couple of minutes. It's this very reason that's going to put us at risk and it's going to put your job in jeopardy potentially. As far as policies go, yeah, you can say that, you know, all laptop drives must be encrypted and the passphrases must be strong and this and that, but the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, you've got to have good technology in place to actually enforce those policies.
Sure, and it certainly would be great if we could just say, okay, no employees get laptops and make everyone's job a lot easier, except for those employees.
Right.
But good luck getting that one. What's happening in the criminal community? How up to date are they staying on mobile devices and mobile security for mobile devices?
Are you referring to like hackers in general, or just?
Hackers and other types of users that may want to get access to mobile devices.
I think the hacker community, they're always at least three or four steps ahead of everybody else, and a lot of the physical criminal community, they are as well. They've got tools, they've got techniques, and a lot of time on their hands. So that's why we've got to be proactive and gaining control of our laptops and making sure that when something does happen that they're not going to be able to gain access. The hackers are writing tools to crack into the drives to be able to crack passwords and gain access to the information. I know the other physical realm of criminals, you know, they've always got bigger and better ways of breaking into to cars, and they know that people, if the laptop's not in the back seat, well, maybe it's in the trunk, so let's go back and check in the trunk. So you've got to be careful all the way around.
And when we look at mobile devices, you mentioned that technology really has to be part of the solution here. Are there certain technologies that you want to mention that you think have been, you know, very helpful, and not only in what you've seen, and, you know, good recommendations that really can push forward mobile device security?
Well, there's a couple of things. It's the drive encryption solutions. A lot of vendors out there offer, you know, whole disk or content-based encryption or partition-based encryption. And then there's also endpoint security solutions that can actually help prevent, you know, information from leaking out of the network to begin with. I think, by and large, if people would actually enable the security controls that are built into their operating systems already, or built into their hardware already, be it power on passwords, you know, login passwords using strong passwords that are hard to crack. One of the things that people often overlook is the screensavers and locking screensavers. You know, when people get up away from the machine, their screensaver needs to come on within a couple of minutes. And when they go back, they need to be able to type in they need to be required to type in their password in order to gain access to it. That's one of the biggest things. That's one of the biggest loopholes of hard drive encryption, is if you don't have, if you're not locking your screens and you don't require authentication upon, you know, when resuming from standby mode or when coming back from lunch or whatever, that's a great way for anybody to overcome hard drive encryption. It'll be completely negated at that point. And I think one of the other, I guess you could call it a technology, it is a product, it's these physical cables. It's these, you know, the laptop locks that these office and computer supply stores sell, you know, Kensington and PC Guardian, you know, a lot of companies out there sell these locks that you hook it into your laptop, you wrap it around your desk a couple of times, and boom, you're set. And people need to be using these in public places, and especially in hotel rooms, and even in their own offices, or even you can even use them in your own trunk of your own car to keep your laptop secured. There, you know, this kind of stuff. None of these controls are 100% foolproof, but the thing is, and the objective is to create as many hoops as possible, as many layers of security as possible to thwart the bad guys' attacks.
And one of the things that, you know, Security InfoWatch and so many of the trade publications and advocates out there in the industry have talked about is the whole idea of, you know, convergence and also just at a basic level of IT security and physical security working closer together. And it sounds like some of these physical measures, you know, could be reiterated by the physical security professionals to the end user staff, whether it's that simple Kensington cable. I mean, to be honest, I haven't seen many of those in use. Have you?
Nope. Rarely see them, but I sure do see a lot of laptops sitting in cubicles, sitting on tables in coffee shops, people leaving them in the, you know, hotel lobbies or the, you know, wherever, the restaurants and hotels while they run to the restroom real quick. But it's that kind of stuff that leads to these vulnerabilities.
Sure. And I was speaking with a head of a computer tracking firm, one of these companies that does a system that can help try to locate notebooks after they do wander off. And they were telling me just about the number of cases where laptops are simply picked up from conference rooms. You know, people leave them, you know, they're in session working, step up for lunch, and someone wanders in and grabs a few laptops and is out the door before anyone could even notice. So,
absolutely, yeah. I mean, that is another technology that I've never used, but I do know about. You know, it's sort of like a LoJack for your car. It's built into your laptop, and essentially, when the laptop is stolen or if it's ever plugged back into the internet to the network, it'll phone home and help you help or help authorities track it down. So that could be another measure.
Sure. So I guess the key here is, you know, layer these different approaches, you know, good passwords for startup, screensaver password locks, cable locks, potentially tracking, you know, all these things that can be done to really secure these mobile devices. Well, we'll have to come back in sometime and talk about external storage security. We touched in on the beginning of this a little bit about MP3 players and iPods, and now I think these things are 80 gigs or better in some of these mobile devices, basically mobile hard drives, and they can be acquired very cheaply. So let's get back into that on a future episode. But
sounds great.
We've covered laptop and mobile device security today. Hopefully you've learned a little bit on this to help secure your computers at your company, and we'll be back with another episode in the future with Kevin to talk about more issues that hit the IT security folks. And if you want to get in touch with Kevin, you can visit him on the web at securityonwheels.com, where he's in the works of producing a series of audio programs specifically for IT security professionals to really give them high-level training, a lot higher level than you'll get on this program. And we wish him well on that. And you can also visit him at his site, Principal Logic, which is principallogic.com.
That's correct.
So catch up with Kevin there. Kevin, thanks again for coming on the program.
Appreciate it.